First of all, give it up for Jess. She truly is one of my favorite people on earth, and she is the best person in Baltimore. She did change my life, and that'll come up as part of this story, and she changed it for the better. So I want you to imagine a submarine surfacing in the middle of the ocean, and four people get on board, climb down, remove their raincoats, and immediately start searching the ship. This is what I used to do for a living, but it wasn't Jack Ryan, nothing cool like that. I was a nuclear reactor safety inspector. And so, yeah, I wasn't a spy, and I wasn't as hot as John Krasinski or Harrison Ford. Whichever Jack Ryan you're into, I'm not that hot. But it was an important job. And one of the things that we did when we first got on board was called a material inspection. And so what we would do is comb through the ship and find everything we could that was broken, how long it had been broken, the impact it had on the ship, and what the ship had tried to do about it. And in doing that, we learned a lot about how the organization worked and how it didn't work. What the hell does that have to do with Baltimore? Well, eventually, right. I was on the verge of retiring. I was in the onboarding process for a job at the White House. And Jessica calls me. And she says, hey, the position at the Baltimore Improv Group for the managing director is vacant, and I think you should apply. Now, I had been doing improv for 20 years prior to this, so this wasn't a weird phone call in that regard. And I had met Jessica when I used to do improv at Big back in 2010. But it was weird because it was a interesting fork in the road. And initially, I wasn't going to do it or even apply, but the more I thought about it, I loved Baltimore. I was looking for an excuse to move back here. I loved Big, and I just was growing tired of the, you know, government world. And so I decided to apply, and I got the job. And so I'm excited. We move here from Washington State, and as we get to our house, I do what I was trained to do. I go and do a material inspection of the theater. And boy, was I in for it. When I showed up, the front of the building had been removed. I'm not exaggerating. There were no bricks, no windows. There were sheets of plywood that had been placed up because there was a renovation project to replace the facade of the building that had been, we'll just say, abandoned during COVID. And so I showed up. There's plywood. There's graffiti on it. There are posters for events that happened before COVID to tell you how long it had been that these things were there. It looked like a set piece out of RoboCop. And so this represents the first type of material deficiency we would find on a submarine, which is something that everyone knows about, but no one is really, and it requires help. You can't do it yourself. No one could replace the facade within the confines of the organization. So it requires help, but there's also no one that's empowered to be the voice of the organization to reach out for that help. This was informative, but we can fix this. And so I start beating the pavement. I'm interfacing with neighbors, the Central Baltimore Partnership, if you're not familiar, great organization. Jack Dana is also one. Jack, yeah, Jack's great. The foundation that was paying for it, the contractors bring everyone to the table, and we get the project spinning up again. And if you go look at the building, I promise you, there's a front to it. We fixed it. But more importantly, we restored the voice of the organization such that when it needs help and when it needs to provide help, we could do that. So this was a step in the right direction. So next, I'm starting to think about how we can start to get people back together again. This is in 2021. I don't know if you remember, the Delta variant was popping at the time. It was particularly nasty. And so we were looking at starting classes again. It was small groups. We could get people together, control the COVID risk. But we were paying for a separate space to teach classes. And at the time, we could not afford it. And so I asked my education director, why are we not using our space? Our building's pretty big. If you've not been, you should go. And her response was, well, people think that the rooms are gross and scary. That's an interesting choice of words. And so I go back and I do another material inspection with that thought in mind. And she was right. The floors, like the carpets, were old. I wouldn't be surprised if they had been there since the 30s, when it used to be a bowling alley. That's an exaggeration. They weren't there since the 30s. The walls in one room were painted a shade of green that could only be replicated by the digestive system of a Gerber baby. And the other room was a shade of red that looked like a crime scene from RoboCop 2. This represents the second type of deficiency you would find on a material inspection. Something that everyone knows about, something that people complain about, but nobody thinks it's in their job description to fix it. And I don't say that as a judgment. It's very human. If there are things that fall outside of your purview or your responsibility, you don't want to deal with it. Someone else should deal with it. But I grew up in a world, specifically on submarines, where there's nothing on the ship that's not my problem. Everything on the ship is my problem. And I can't live in a world in what should be. If there's something I can solve, I'm going to try to solve it. And so my wife and I go buy some paint because, once again, we didn't have a lot of money as an organization. The fact that I'm buying paint should tell you how dire it was. We buy some paint, and I'd send out emails saying, hey, I'm going to be painting in the space if you want to come. And some people come, and they help. And we repaint the space. We put down some flooring. We get it to a place where it feels comfortable for folks to be in there so we can start up classes. And so we were able to fix it. But more importantly, we were able to prove to ourselves that with our hands, when confronted with a problem, we could solve it. And we could get past the point of who's how things should be and whose responsibility it is and just solve the problem. And so now I'm jazzed. I'm like, okay, let's go solve something else. My battery's fully charged. And there was a room that is the second largest room in the theater that used to be the wood shop of the previous theater that was there. They would build sets and stuff in there. But at this point, no one was using it. It was scarier than the first two rooms that I described. But it was basically like the appendix of the theater. It was a thing that, like, it did something, but no one could really remember, and they didn't want to touch it anymore. And so I go in there, and I'm inspecting the place, and it was in bad shape. One of the things I noticed was there's this white brick wall, but it was a pale yellow. And mind you, no one ever goes in this room. And I'm thinking, all right, I need to figure out how to restore this brick, how to paint it. But at some point, I just walk up and I wipe my hand on it. And it turns out that it was a thin layer of sawdust from when it used to be a wood shop. And so for I don't know how long, there had just been sawdust on the wall, and when I wiped it away, it was pristine white brick. This room represents the third type of material deficiency you discover inspecting a submarine, which is something that people knew about. They could not even conceptualize how to solve it, and so they just tucked it away and stopped thinking about it. And this one is particularly concerning because what it does is it reminds us of the human capacity to hide things from itself. If this is a thing that's out there, then what else are we hiding from ourselves? But we can fix this. And so similarly, I send out an email saying, hey, I'm going to be doing some work in the shop. And we start cleaning the walls, getting all top to bottom, get all the sawdust down, clean it up. We paint every surface, including the floors. We update the lights. We bring this room back to life. And now it's a room that we couldn't survive without. It's one of our primary classrooms. We were able to not only restore this room, but also remind ourselves that with a little bit of effort, even something that doesn't feel solvable is solvable. And so now we're 5 years later. Big still exists. And we teach classes. We make people laugh 3 times a week. We do programs with, say, disabled veterans through the VA. Just yesterday, we had the Sisters Academy of Baltimore do a production of The Wiz on our stage, and there were a lot of young women of color. Some of them, it was their first time performing on a stage, and we got to be a part of that. And I also take pride in the fact that we're the only improv theater in America that's run by Black people. I'll be frank about it. And I'm very proud of that. I'm not going to make bones about it. We're a nonprofit, an arts nonprofit in 2026. So we're always looking for more money, more donors. You can't see it, but I'm winking right now. But the fact that Big is still here, of everything that I've done in my life, is the thing that I'm most proud of. But my pride does nothing for you. And so what is it that I really want you to walk away with? That leaking faucet that you've got in your house that you don't know how to fix yourself, call a plumber on Monday. Use your voice to fix that problem. Remind yourself that you can do that. Your voice has power, and it can fix things. That ugly-ass accent wall in your dining room, I get it. I watch Sex and the City. I'm a Miranda, too. I thought it was a cool color, but it's not cool anymore. It's just not. So buy some paint. Paint over it. Remind yourself that your hands can solve problems. That room that you don't go in anymore because it's packed with boxes that you haven't looked at in forever. You haven't used those things for 2 years. You don't need any of them. I see you. I see you. Hey, I'm watching. You don't use any of that stuff. Donate it. Find a use for it. Reclaim that room. Put a comfortable chair in there. Get a nice little screen. Watch a marathon of the RoboCop movies. They are great. Remind yourself that with a little bit of effort, you can improve your life. And then with that, imagine how much better the world would be if every day each one of us used our voice, our hands, and our effort to try to solve a problem. Because I recognize it's pretty chaotic and messy out there, but we can fix this. Thank you.